Somebody has questions you can ask.
The Gemara makes a statement, a person should learn, may learn, or should learn. He recommends everyone should learn Shalom Lishma. Don't Shalom Lishma, Bo Lishma. The highest madrig is to learn Lishma. So you wonder, what does that mean, Lishma? So Rav Chaim Olozhin has a whole essay about that. He says that much of his Sefer was written as an attack against the beginning of the Hasidic movement in his lifetime. So he says, by many Hasidic tzaddikim, their attitude was that learning Torah Lishma meant, Lishma means to become closer with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what you should have in mind. To take this with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So he thinks that that's not the correct pshat. And he quotes some Rishonim, Gemara Nedarim, that learning Lishma means Lishem HaTorah. Learn Lishma without an agenda. Not that I'm going to use this learning to make money, or use the learning to become famous, world famous or something. I use the learning in order to get a shidduch. I'm learning in order to master the Torah. He thinks that's what it means. The dveikus will come automatically. The neila. When the person learns Torah, he will discover more about the nature of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because the Torah is mashal of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the neila, he will love HaKadosh Baruch Hu more. There would be more dveikus. But he doesn't think that that's the pirush amilas in lima Torah lishma. That'll come by itself. He says, Dabar HaMelech, the Gemara Brachis says, Dabar HaMelech offered a tefillah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that when a person recites Tehillim that he composed, which is part of the Kisvei HaKadosh, part of Tanakh, he should get the same schar, should be considered as if he had studied Negoim HaHalas. So he says, we don't find that HaKadosh Baruch Hu responded in the affirmative. We don't know what the answer was. Dabar HaMelech, yes. The one who learns Tehillim should get the same, should be considered, get the same schar, the one who learns the Goyim HaHalas. We don't find that Rabban Shlom said yes. So he says, if the purpose of learning is to have dveikus, so Tehillim, you're going to have much more dveikus. If you know Hebrew, then read Tehillim, full of dveikus, much more than the Goyim HaHalas. The Goyim HaHalas is very technical. You don't see the Rabban Shlom in the picture at all. You just see dry halachas, dead bodies. The Goyim HaHalas, tumah, all details. So he says, he thinks, obviously, you see that even if David HaMelech was answered in the affirmative, so we don't know what the answer was, even if he was answered in the affirmative. But obviously, what was Torah Lishma? Torah Lishma means to know the Deen, to know what it says. Not in order to develop Dveikus. Limud Tehillim will accomplish more Dveikus than Limud Negoim HaHalas. The Dveikus will come in name. He thinks that Limud Torah Lishma means Lishem HaTorah, just to know what the Deen. If a person learns not planning to observe it, that's not a mitzvah. You have no permission. The Pasuk says in Tehillim, Rasha Omer Lekim Malach HaNasap B'chukai. Kadosh Baruch Hu tells the Rasha, who doesn't plan to keep the mitzvahs, who gave you permission to learn my Torah? You have to have permission to learn the Torah. Because when you're learning Torah, you're discovering more about the nature of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So if you're planning to observe mitzvahs, so he gives you permission to do this research. If a person doesn't plan to observe the mitzvahs that he's going to discover in the learning, then he has no heter, he has no permission to learn the Torah. So a Rasha who makes up his mind in advance, he's not going to keep mitzvahs, he's not allowed to learn Torah. But the one who plans, whatever he's going to learn, he's going to observe. So then he should be learning. Almanos lasas. But limud lishma just means to know what it says in the Torah. And maybe to observe the mitzvah, whatever comes his way.
You have to stand up and speak up.
When the Rav said that the real custom of many Musa is that encompassed within learning Torah, is not just a catalyst for someone to become a person for learning Torah?
Wonder whether learning Musa is part of living on Torah?
Do we have to do a Chassadim as an Isra?
Yeah, of course.
Doing Binos Chassadim is one of the 613 mitzvahs. It's a major mitzvah, like making tefillin, like saying Kriyat Shema, like sitting in a sukkah and eating matzah. A mitzvah is a mitzvah. Learning Musar, it depends what the Musar is. If someone wrote a whole book of philosophy, he made up, he invented from thin air, Musar, so that's not part of the Torah. That's a nice book on philosophy. But if the Musar is like the Mesivus Hashem, he's quoting Psukim from Tanakh, he's quoting Mamori Chazal, I find Mesivus Hashem fantastic. I love it. I don't know how in the Musa Yeshivas they learn Mesivus Hashem. They learn it slowly. They learn it with a crying niggin. I don't understand what that's all about. You have to learn it quickly. You have to learn a few pages at a time. How can you read it slowly? He develops the whole thing. He quotes so many psukim. You have to put everything all together. The whole thing is learning. The whole thing is kumatera from the beginning to the end. Most of the Musa Svarim are like that. There are other Musa Svarim where people just wrote the Chazanish as a whole attack against the other kind of Musa. They just invented things from thin air. So it's nice philosophy, but it doesn't necessarily correspond to the Torah. Musa has to be based on the Torah. Our Musa is based on the Torah. The Bar Tanura has a famous comment on the opening Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, Moshe Kibul Torah Messina, etc. So he said, this Mishnah belongs to the beginning of Brachas, the beginning of Shisha Sidmi Mishnah. Why is the beginning of Pirkei Avos? It should say, Moshe Kibul Torah Messina, that all Shisha Sidmi Mishnah is all Masar, it's all tradition, Ish Mepiyash and Moshe Rabbeinu. Why is it only saying Pirkei Avos? So the Bar Tanura has a famous comment. He writes, and all the Mishnayis, Zray and Mai, Nash and Zip and Kajim, everything is Ish Min Pish, Amr Shem, it's a Chapshita. Whoever's learning Mishnayis believes in Torah Min Hashemai, believes in Torah Shabbat Pem Min Hashemai. Why then are you learning Mishnayis? The Chiddush is that even Pirkei Avos, that's ethics and morality, and by the Yom Soil, and they have philosophers who wrote ethicists. The New York Times, they have the ethicists. Every day he writes ethical dilemmas, and he gives you the solution. And he all makes it out. He makes everything up from on top of his head. So one might have thought that by the Jews, also the ethics is invented by the rabbis. Ethics of the rabbis, Pirkei Avos, ethics of the rabbis. It's wrong. It's not invented by the rabbis. Moshe Kibul Torah Messina, all the ethics was on Moshe Messina. In fact, the only question said, why is it called Avos? What does it mean, Avos? They usually translate it in English, ethics of our fathers. The Avos of the Tanoim, these are ethics of the fathers. So the only question says, no. You have learned Baba Kama. Rashi, the first Mishnah of Baba Kama, writes, Avos Nezikin. Why Shor Bar Ma Behebe? Why are they called Avos? Rashi says, Avos Kar Lahanach, the Seed of Behebe Bekro. Whatever is explicit in Parshas Mishpatim in the Chumash, that's called Avos. If you put Avnam Sekina Asar, Shinicham, Shusarab, Merosh Agag, whatever, all the others are told us, they don't say explicitly in the Chumash. Whatever is explicit in the Chumash is Avos. And the only God says, the reason why Pirkei Avos is called Masechus Avos, because every single theme in Pirkei Avos says in Tanakh. That's the first comment that Olmec Gaon has, and then he proceeds to show you every single Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. Where is the Makom in Tanakh? Where does it say in Tanakh that it's called Avos? It's called Avos because Avos Kar Lahanach Tichsiv Me'ad Yibikrov. Usually in Mishnah Yatir. Yeah. Sure.
When we learn in Shir Be'yu, and we see so many different mifarshim, on one topic, that machloken, and there are so many different things. Are we supposed to believe that everything, all of the gedolim, all the different gedolim said, is Torah Moshe Sinai, or is it the general picture of Torah Shabbat there is really what we got from Moshe Rabbeinu, and then the Gedolim work it out, and sometimes some Gedolim are right and sometimes some Gedolim are wrong. Meaning, is there anything wrong for me to say that I disagree with this Gadol Svar and I agree with this one and the other ones doesn't make sense?
Of course, yeah. Each person has a different taste. You should learn in that shir that appeals to you. Every Rebbe has a different presentation. Even in Shiva University, half the Rebbe is now learned by Rav Soloveitchik. Each one has a different style. No two people have the same style. So each student has to attend the shir where the Rebbe talks to his Shoris Neshama. Not everybody has the same style of thinking. You're not all on the same wavelength.
I meant with the Rishonim. When we read Rishonim and you see there's a stir between the Rishonim, is there anything wrong to say that this Rishon didn't really get it and this Rishon was more right?
Yeah. There is a Gemara in Ksubis where Rashi and Tosis interpret the Gemara saying that Eilili Eiladiv Elikim Chaim does not always apply. It only applies when you have a Machloikas, Alibid and Avshayu, original Machloikas. But if you have a text, you have a Mishnah, you have a Gemara. There's a Machloikas, Abai Barabba, what did Reb Yudah say? So either Reb Yudah said X or he said Y. He didn't say both. So one is right and one is wrong. You have a Machloikas, Rashi and Tosis, what the Girsa is. So either one Girsa is right, the other one is wrong. We have two interpretations. What did the Gemara mean? Either he's right or he's right. You don't say Eilu v'Eilu. When there's a machloikas, Aliba dechad mandam, and what did someone say? He didn't say both. You have a machloikas, how to read the Chumash, and then you can say, in many cases, Eilu v'Eilu. The Ritvoi explains an Erevin on that Gemara. Eilu v'Eilu, daf yud gimel on base. So he says, he has a tradition for his Rabbeim, that what it means probably is the following. When Moshe Rabbeinu was on Har Sinai, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu was teaching all of the 613 mitzvahs, Moshe Rabbeinu asked the Rebbe Shalom, what's the din in this case? He said, Osir, what's the din in that case? Mutter, what's the din in this case? So Rebbe Shalom answered him, it's a gray area of halacha. It has elements of Isa, elements of Heter, elements of Sul, elements of Hechshe, whatever, elements of Chiyav, elements of Ptur. HaKadosh Baruch Hu leaves it up to the Chachmei HaTorah Shebechol Davador to determine whether they feel that the elements of Isa outweigh the elements of Heter based on their perspective of Kol HaTorah Kula. You have many people looking, let's say there's a room here with many people, tables and chairs and light fixtures and air conditioning and windows and so on. So there's someone sitting in the back over there, standing in the back over there, is looking at everything that I'm looking at, exactly the same thing, as one perspective. Someone looking from outside through this window sees exactly the same thing, but he has a totally different perspective. Someone standing over here is looking at the exact same thing. They have a different perspective. You can have different perspectives. Everybody's looking at the exact same thing. You have different perspectives, and all the perspectives are correct. They're all correct. But if a person is blind on one eye, one person doesn't have 20/20 vision. He has a shvacha sight. So you don't say Eilu v'Eilu d'Kai. He's half blind. He doesn't see. What are you talking about? The guy doesn't know all of Shas. This person knows Kol HaTorah. The guy knows five lines in the Gemara. How can say Eilu v'Eilu d'Kim Chaim? He's not looking at the same thing. You have to look at the total picture of everything, and then tell me, what do you see? What does it seem to be? So then we say, Eilu v'Eilu. But if it's not a question, two people looking at the same thing in different perspectives, he has one girsa, he has the other girsa. He says, Abai said this, and he says, Abai said the other thing. So one is right and one is wrong. You don't always say, Eilu v'Eilu. But Machlekes HaRishayim is usually two girsas or two different interpretations. Usually do not say, Eilu v'Eilu. Chazara is very important. They used to say years ago when I was a student in yeshiva that one who learns and doesn't chaza is like a farmer who plants and doesn't harvest. What do you gain by learning once and it's going to go down the drain? People learn bikiyas and then they don't chaza. So it goes in one ear and out the other, you don't remember. You have to chaza. Sometimes a chazara is necessary in order to know what it says. That's what the stipula quotes are Gemara and Eridan. Martin Aaron says that you have to learn everything four times to get it straight. Then the Gemara talks about reviewing 100 times. The Chok and Yeshivas used to be shown a pair of their bummer to make sure you don't forget it. But to learn it four times, you can't expect that the first time you meet a Daf Gemara, you're going to get it all straight. Usually you don't get it straight. It takes, you have to go through the Gemara at least four times to get Pashup Shat in the Gemara. And then, when you, let's say you learned the Masechta, so 3-4 years go by and you forgot it, so then in the summertime you should review that Masechta.
Some people go like, some people just go very, they come to the door, they go very quickly, and they go fly down the doctor, so some people go slowly, and they like, try to go through the lodge, and they try to go slowly, like, but one takes around, one person covers 5 times the underground, as opposed to another person who covers much slower, but he goes through it much more thoroughly. But if you do four chazaras, like it would take much longer. The other guy did 4 chazaras already, and then he moves to the next part.
Each person should do chazar what he's able to do. You have to chazar the shakla v'tar, not just chazar the ninnis like this and shayim. The riff, a bridge the gemara. So the riff says, Yerushalayim Hadas Machalekes Bar Rav, and the din is like a bai. Period. He leaves out the whole sugya, every sugya like that. The shayla, and he gives you the final. And it leaves out the whole Shaka V'tar. So that's what the Rabbi Mizrahi Alevi has a hasad and a whole riff. If you leave out the whole Shaka V'tar, you're missing a lot, because the Gemara makes a lot of assumptions in the Kasha and the Teretz. Even if you're studying the other Mandama whose opinion is not accepted, but the Gemara will be making a lot of assumptions, a lot of premises that are negeh l'halacha. So it's important not just to review, oh, that topic then is like this, this topic then is like that. Got to review the whole Shaka V'tar. Now, do you have to review every Rav Baruch Ber and every Rav Shimon Sof. Those who want to remember all the Rav Baruch Ber, so let them redo everything. Okay, but the main thing is you should review the Shach Levitari of the Gemara. They know the Gemara asked for this, and the answer was this. The Gemara asked for that, and the answer was that. It's important to us. Very important to us.
I recall correctly, you said earlier that you can't really learn Gemara until you know Torah. So is it okay to learn Gemara before you know Mishnah, or Mishnah before you know Tanakh?
It would be a very good idea whenever you learn a Masechta to go through the Mishnayos of that Masechta before you begin learning the Gemara in that Masechta. Before you start learning the first year, the Rebbe should have you open up a Chumash and we'll see what it says in the Chumash. And then go Menakal al HaKadim. See, how did the Tanon read the Pasuk and how did Amaron read the Mishnah? You have to go in order. The Vilna Gaon is known to have changed the Derech HaLimud in the world. And because of the change of Derech HaLimud, that's why people were more successful in learning. So there was one of the Rabbanim in Europe who wrote a thin sefer on all of Shas, the Oris on all of Shas. And he writes in the introduction, his father wanted him to be Matzlich. So his father paid the Nachlas David to learn Mecharusa with his son. They were about the same age. And they made up, they're going to learn together 6 years. The first year they're going to go through Israel. Second year they're going to go through Bayit. Third year they're going to go through Anashka. In the middle of the third year, Nachlas David, David Tebel got a letter from Abchaim Balojan asking him to come back to the yeshiva, Balojan yeshiva, to get shiurim. He gave shiurim and Balojan during the lifetime of Abchaim Balojan. So he writes, that was the end of the Chavrusa. His Chavrusa left, and they didn't finish. They were supposed to have been covered by the end of the third year. They were supposed to finish Tzroi Moed Nashim. They didn't finish Nashim, and that was the end. So he writes in the introduction to his Sefer, Nachlas David knew how to learn better than me. I had a sharp head, but he knew how to learn better than me, because he was brought up in a village that was closer to Vilna, and the new Derech HaLimud of the Vilna Gaon had already reached his village. And I was brought up in a village further away from Vilna, so the Gaon's Derech HaLimud didn't reach. What was the secret to success of the Vilna Gaon's Derech HaLimud? So he says, for many generations, by the Chassidim, by the Satna Chassidim, it's still the same Ad HaYom HaZeh. They had little children learning Shulchan Aruch with Magen Avraham, Yeridaya with the Shach before they learned the Gemara. So they said, that's ridiculous. The Magen Avraham is always in the middle of a Maharsha. Magen Avraham is always in the middle of, if you don't know the Gemara with the Tosfos at the Maharsha, how can you understand the Magen Avraham? So you have to conjure up in your mind, oh, the Gemara probably says this, and the Tosfos probably says that, the Maharsha probably says that. The Magen Avraham is making this comment. 9 times out of 10, you're going to guess wrong. The Shach and Yeridaya, they will learn Yeridaya. They still learn. They learn like that. They learn little children by mitzvah. They learn Yeridaya with the Shach without ever having learned the Gemara Chulam with the Taisvitz. So how do you know what the Shach is talking about? He's always talking in a Taisvitz, this Taisvitz, the other Taisvitz, how does it fit in? If you don't know the Gemara. So they've only gone and changed the Derech HaLimud. They said, you got to go back to the program prescribed by the Mishnah Berakhi. Oh, it's the first step to learn Tanakh. Then you have to learn Mishnayos, then you start learning Gemara. After you know the Gemara, then you learn the Shulchan Aruch. It doesn't make sense to learn the Shulchan Aruch before you learn the Gemara. You're going to have a total distorted picture. So the Derech HaLimud for many years has been, unfortunately, that we disregard the Tanakh. But if you're learning any yeshiva, so you're learning Kiddushin, read the Parsha and Chumash at least before you start the Masechta. Read the Parsha and Chumash, Yikach, Yishish, Chadosha. See the Pesukim and Chumash, and try to go through the whole Masechta and Mishnayos at least before you start learning the Gemara. It'll be a Hatzala Porta. We can't undo the whole poor education that we had until now. The problem in America is, I don't know what the story is, and that's the problem in America is, the parents pressure the principals of the schools that they should introduce Gemara already in the second grade. They want to show up. My child is already learning Gemara in the second grade. The mechanchim know that it's a disaster. The children don't understand one word of Gemara when they're so young. They don't understand Gemara until an older age. I remember years ago we had a symposium in yeshiva about the Derech HaLimud. Because no Turabayim in our yeshiva, probably in any yeshiva, no Turabayim in our yeshiva have the same Derech HaLimud. They're different Kiruchat Mizrach and Nar. Even all those who learn, half of the Rabbayim learn by Rav Soloveitchik. Each one is totally different Derech HaLimud. So we had years ago, we had a fascinating symposium. They were talking about Derech Halim. So Rabbi Parnas told over in public the following story. He first was asked by the yeshiva to teach first year high school. So he was successful for a couple of years. Then after a couple of years, they had him teach second year high school. Everything was going well, I think, when he came to third year high school, if I'm not mistaken. But in third year high school, he had four students who were asking such murderous kashas on the Gemara. He didn't know what to do. So he asked the Minhal to send two of the students to a higher class. They were too advanced for his class. And the other two, he figured he'll work with them. He was wondering, what happened? Is he already getting old? Is he already developing old age? That he can't ask for such strong kashas. Thinking, came to the realization that then, the first year high school, the boys were 13 years old. That's what he used to know. I started high school when I was 13. Second year high school, they were 14. Mishnah says, "Chamesh esrei l'talmid." Third year high school, they were 15 years old. The Tanoim hit the nail on the head. Before the child is 15, usually, he doesn't really understand what Gemara is all about. You can hakam Gemara in the sixth grade, but just memorizing a bunch of words, he doesn't really understand the logic. The Tanoim picked these ages. Between the age of 5 and 10, the child's mind is attuned to picking up psukim, to sing the psukim, to say over the psukim in the chumash. You'll understand it on a child's level. You won't understand it on a mature level. When he gets older, he should reread the Tanakh and understand it on a more mature level. But the child is, between the age of 5 and 10, he's intelligent enough to pick up Tanakh. Between the age of 10 and 15, he's able to pick up Piskei Halacha. The din is like this, the din is like that. And the Mishnah is telling din is like this based on the Pasuk and Friday. Only after the age of 15, the child's mind is sufficiently developed that he should be able to understand the ins and the outs, a whole shakla of tari, how come this and how come that, and what he did with the Mishnah, the whole kasha. So he said he saw it b'chush, that when he started teaching third year high school, that's when the children really understood Gemara. So we have been sticking to this. In America, the parents keep on ruining the education. Parents always pressure the principals to introduce Gemara at a younger age because of their cupboard. They want to be able to brag to the other parents. My child is already learning Gemara in the fourth grade, in the third grade, whatever. It's a big problem. Years ago, there was a mechanech. The one who wrote Sefer HaTodoh. What was his name? Rabbi Elio Kitov. So he published an essay that was entitled Al Chet Shechatanu Lefanecha Bechinuch HaBonim. He complains about this. We're wasting time teaching the children the things that they're not ready to understand. The holy Tanoim do psychology, and they established that this is the age he's supposed to teach. Tanakh, he's supposed to teach between 5 and 10. The Mishnah is, but teaching him, the Dolmigon was a super genius. He could swallow Gemaras at a much younger age. You have exceptions to the rule. But usually the rule is, before the age of 15, you don't really understand. I was very good in Gemara before the age of 15, but I knew what the words were. I memorized the words and I knew what it said. I didn't really understand. I didn't understand Gemara until I was 16. Then I understood Gemara. But it's not right. How should one learn the halachas ben al machalik? Same as you learn the halachas ben al machalik. It's not common sense. The Torah dictates ben al machaber like ben al machalik. It's part of our religion. The Gemara has a comment that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu was proclaiming the Aser Sadibis at Har Sinai, so the whole world was shaking. Everybody heard a tremendous thunder and noise, and they thought the world is coming to an end. So they asked Bilam HaRosh, what's going on? He said, no, Shemos Ne'am Yitim. God is giving a new religion. So they said, oh, it's going to be religious wars. It's going to be a peaceful religion. No religious wars. They're not going to force anybody else to convert. So they were wondering, what's going to be the new religion? So they heard Hashem is Baruch Hu's proclaim. I'm the one and only God. So they said, every religion says that. This is the only true religion, no other religion. Every religion claims this is the only true religion. What's unique about this religion? Then the Baruch Shalom says, see, Hashem, Hashem, HaKech, HaShok. Not allowed to swear falsely. Okay, like all the other religions. Then the Baruch Shalom says, Shabbos, you have to remember, God created the world. The Baruch Shalom says, a religion like all the religions. Then the Baruch Shalom says, Kabeinus, Avich, Avich, Avich. Ooh, that's a new religion. God is telling us how to lead our lives. No other religion had that. So that's what the Gemara says. Rosh Debarach Emes. He self Debarach Nika, she Rosh Debarach Emes. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu proclaimed, keep it out of the end, all the mitzvahs been on Mahavir. And then all of a sudden realized this is Taka, a new religion that dictates everything. It dictates from the time you wake up in the morning until you go to sleep at night. Every minute of the day, there's another mitzvah. Binat Mahavir is very important. The saying of all of Binat Mahavir is that we believe in God. We believe that God created man with tzelem of a kid. And we have to show respect for human beings because they have tzelem of a kid. That's a way of showing respect for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's a medrash, there are different opinions in the medrash, how the Aseres Adibris appear on the Luchas. One opinion is that all the Aseres Adibris from 1 to 10 were on all four sides. They were cubes on all four sides of the both Luchas. And the famous opinion is like they usually have on an Aron Kodesh. They had 1 to 5 on one Luch and 6 to 10 on the other Luch. So there's a Medrash that goes with that view, 1 to 5 and 6 to 10. And then the Medrash says that 6 corresponds to 1 and 7 corresponds to 2. There's a connection between 1 and 6 and 2 and 7. So the Medrash explains, and the Iri talks about this Medrash in his introduction to the Gemara. And the old, I have a European, the Iri. I got from Father's Rambam. So the European Meiri is the introduction to Shas is the beginning of Nidor. I don't know why. And now they print the introduction to Shas, the beginning of Brochus. Meiri and Brochus. So the Meiri in the introduction quotes this Medrash and he elaborates on it. The connection between 1 and 6, Loisirtzach, is Bechumen Kenegan Anochi Hashem Alokecha. You believe in God. You believe that God created man, but seldom Alokecha. It says, Loisirtzach. The basis of all Beinat Machaber is that man was created in Tzelem of a Kid, and when he saw Abadim Lamakim, it's Tzelem of a Kid square, or more than plain Tzelem of a Kid. You have to treat all human beings properly, with dignity, because of that Tzelem of a Kid. All the Dina Beinat Machaber, right, are based on the assumption that we believe in God and that it's Tzelem of a Kid. One who doesn't believe in God, one doesn't believe that God created man with Tzelem of a Kid. So there's no reason to observe any Beinat Machaber. Everyone should be out for himself, shoot everybody else, take all their money and do whatever you don't please. The basis of all Beran Mahaber is it's Tzelem HaLekim. Everything is in the Torah. Torah Shabbat was originally intended to be transmitted orally, and then it was written down. So Ivan, now, is there any value in reciting and memorizing Torah Shabbat Bal Peh? I think many assume that the Rambam writes an Akdama to Mishneh Torah, that there never was a prohibition to write down the Torah Shabbat Peh. They always used to have Megillahs. Sasi the Gemara has Sasi Megillah start, they were on the first pair of Shabbat. They always had it. They wrote down the Torah Shabbat Pedigsah, but the Shir, the transmitting from generation to generation. That's how the Golden Gemara says we follow that opinion of Tosi. Tosi is the Kasha. How do you say Kriya Shema Bal Peh? It's Varm Shabbat Sah, Yatra Shali Yomen Al Peh. How do you say Yaz Yoshe Bal Peh? How do you say Ashrei? How do you say Psukah Nizimah Bal Peh? It's all Torah Shabbat Sah. And how do you write down notes on the Shir? It's Torah Shabbat Peh. How can you write it down itself? So the different suggestions, Tosis, we said, it only got in Shulchanot, possibly like that. One view in Tosis, that there is no such thing that you're not allowed to write down Torah Shabbat Peh. You're not allowed to transmit Torah Shabbat Peh from generation to generation in Torah Chaksav. Torah Shabbat Peh has to be transmitted Bal Peh. Torah Shabbat Chaksav should be transmitted in Torah Chaksav. The Bal Peh ready has to read from the Sefer Torah. You shouldn't read Bal Peh. Is to read every word from the Sefer Torah. Because he's teaching Torah to the Tzibur, he's Melamed Torah to the Tzibur. So when you're teaching Torah Shabbat Chaksav, you have to teach him Torah Chaksav. And the Rebbe, for so many generations, till they wrote down the Mishnayos and the Gemara, the Rebbe used to have private notes, each one had notes at home, the Gilas Torah. But the Shir would be transmitted Bal Peh. And then they saw it's not going to go, even with the private notes, the Torah is going to be forgotten. So they said, Eslas Lashem Efer Torah Sechel, they allowed them not only to write down, they were always writing down, private notes. They permitted them to give the Shir Mitoch HaKsav. So they had a text, Mishnayos, Gemara. They would teach by reading from the text. So is the Dalia now to recite the Gemara Balpeh? It was never really required. You have to recite it Balpeh. It's good to know everything Balpeh. The Chaz is so long until you know Balpeh. There are people who have photographic memories. Call it Tarakula Balpeh. He used to meet the Rabbi Pinchas Hirschberg. He was the Rav in Montreal. He had a photographic memory. So whenever he would meet people, he would ask them, what are you learning? So they would say, he would rattle off the whole Daf Balpeh. Then if you want, he would rattle off the Ran Balpeh, or the Taisin Balpeh, everything. So a wise guy, some professor from Yeshiva University, said he's going to show him. So he asked him, what are you learning? He said, he's learning Yerushalmi Nidor. He rattled off the Yerushalmi Balpeh. He had a photographic memory. He rattled off everything Balpeh. So that's a blessing. The person has photographs. The person remembers that's Gevaldik. That such a big zikaron. But I don't think that's... we usually assume, like the Dolma Goyen, who adopts that position in Taisus and Tmura, that Nikodin is not really... the Torah Shabbat should not be written down. It means you shouldn't teach. When the Rebbe is transmitting the Torah to the Talmidim, you shouldn't teach it from a text. You should recite it all about that.
Scream! You know how to scream.
Value is taken away. The Rebbe gives a shiur by reading the Shulchan Aruch inside, or by reading the Mishnah and the Gemara inside, the place is inside. Because we feel if you're going to do it the other way, you're going to give an oral presentation without reading a text. We'll be following the way it should be, the old tradition, but it'll be weaker. Because it'll be more successful for the Talmidim if you read everything innovating inside. So they'll be able to maintain it later. That's what the Gemara said. They changed the style because it's last lashon. We felt that it's going to be more successful this way.
The Rav said that we should that everyone should be learning, you know, every day. And he talked about the importance of Daf Yomi and learning Tanakh Yomi, but.
Outside of an issue, we have a lot of time, and we were able to do other things. What's where should be concessions, or draw a line? What's the bottom line to which we're learning every day? What is there a minimum that is for all of Klai Yisrael, or just it's a minimum on an individual? What's the question draw the line? Where do you draw the line? Each person should learn to the maximum of his ability. The Gemara has a machlokes hatanoim. How do you read? How do you understand the pasuk of Hagis Vayom Balayim? So sometimes I say you have to learn a little bit in the daytime, a little bit in the nighttime. It's a bit of kviya sitin laterah. So if you learn 5 minutes in the daytime, 5 minutes in the nighttime, you get to the mitzvah. You won't become a talmid chacham, but you get to the mitzvah. Another time I'm saying no. Yom ha'malayla means chamid, tadir. You have to learn all day and all night. You have to eat. You have to go to sleep. You have to make a parnassus. That means so the Vilna Gaon explains on Mishnah's pay. Whenever you have 3 minutes, whenever you have a 3 minute, you move. You don't have free time, you're not moving. So the more free time a person has, so the more he's b'chiv to learn. If you follow that opinion, if you follow the opinion that Yom HaBalal is taken literally, you should learn every 3 minutes. The more free time you have, so the more you should learn. So the Beitzik had an unusual family tradition about observing Yom Tov Sheni Shel Golias. He said that basically his father and his grandfather Abchaim thought like the Chacham Tzvi, that one is visiting Eretz Yisrael should only observe Monday Yom Tov. But he thought they had a whole complicated pilpul that when he get to Malachan, he should observe 2 days. When he get to the mitzvahs, he should put on tefillin with a bracha on the second day, and he should daven tefillah schol, and so on. He said that one time that he visited Eretz Yisrael, 1935, he was a candidate for the Rabbanus in Tel Aviv, so his father is still alive, his father told him he was going to be there for Shavuos. He said, father told him, second day Shavuos, you put on tefillin with a bracha. Happy second day Shavuos for Shabbos. No Shabbos. No one was wearing tefillin. The Israelis weren't wearing any tefillin. He said, that's what his father told him. You don't do malacha, but you daven tefillah schol, and you put on tefillin with the bracha. He had a whole complicated explanation. I don't follow that. Person should straighten himself a little bit. The guy's going to strain himself too much, he'll crack up and get a nervous breakdown. He should strain himself a little bit. And he'll be blessed with a happy life, and he won't lose out in the end. My father-in-law used to, Zachar Lebrach was a Rebbe in Tarbidas for many years. So, the first few years after I got married, my mother-in-law felt she's obligated to give me kest. She used to cook gefilte fish. I give it to my father-in-law to bring to the yeshiva, and there was a boy from Washington Heights. I live in Washington Heights, still live in the same place. The boy in Washington Heights learned the Torah with us. Every Friday, he would deliver the gefilte fish. My father-in-law brought it to the yeshiva, he delivered it. So the payoff used to be that when it's a long Friday, I would talk to him and learning on Friday afternoon for 2-3 hours, because he delivered the gefilte fish. On the short Fridays in the winter, he would deliver the gefilte fish before Shabbos. He would come after Havdalah, and we would talk and learning for 2-3 hours. I knew the guy very well. He was a good Talmud, he learned from Tarbidas. Then he decided he wants to go to Lakewood. Everybody goes to learn at Lakewood. Went to Lakewood, fine, wonderful. He decided he has to be the best Bachar at Lakewood. To be the best Baruch, you have to be the first one there, and the morning the last one up. So he would skip lunch every so long. He would eat breakfast up at Bikitsa. He would eat 2 minutes and run out. He would learn Bahasmada Merubo. He learned Bahasmada Merubo until he cracked up. He had a nervous breakdown. Couldn't come back to New York. His brother had to go pick him up, bring him back. For a year, he couldn't function. His mother would walk with him in the street, arm in arm. I would say, hi, Schleim. He didn't recognize me. He spoke to me in a learning for 4 years. He didn't know what he was doing for a year. Came back to himself, couldn't get a shidduch in America. Who wants to marry a guy? Had a nervous breakdown. So he came to Eretz Yisrael, got a shidduch, he got married, he married off all of his children already. He's doing very well in Eretz. He's in learning. He's doing very well in Eretz Yisrael. The Torah doesn't ask us to get a nervous breakdown. The Torah tells him we should make tzaratzma. You have to strain yourself a little bit within reason, not to enjoy tanugas olam hazeh. You have to strain yourself a little bit. If you strain yourself too much, you're going to crack up. The Rashash in one place, has a kasha, and he says, the Netziv told me the Terence. So Rav Zevin quotes the story in Isha Meshitah, the background of that incident, that the Rashash once met up with the Netziv, and he told me this kasha that bothers him for so many years. Rashash was a businessman, wealthy, successful businessman. He was the Rosh HaKol. He was the president of the Kehillah in Vilna. So he told the Netziv this kasha that bothered him, and the Netziv right away gave a teretz. So the Rashash had such a chalisha sadas. How come I didn't think of that answer? How come you thought right away? So the Netziv bopped him over the head, and he told him right away, because you're so wealthy, and you learn in such luxury. You're so relaxed when you learn, and I'm very poor. And when you learn b'toch hadchak, so then you focus in better, and you concentrate more. So that's what the Rambam is saying. When a person strains himself a little bit, he'll be matzliach more in learning. But it doesn't mean you should give up olam hazeh. It doesn't mean you should fast taneisim all the time. It doesn't mean you should get a nervous breakdown. He says he'll be rewarded. Asher olam hazeh. It doesn't mean he's going to be living in luxury. The Netziv did not live in luxury. He was a happy man. children, have grandchildren, everything, had a yeshiva. Everything was going well for him. It's not a steer.
When it comes to Limud Halacha, so the Rosh Hashiva is explaining in regard to Gemara how it's, you know, very hard to move yet to do it well. But for a Bachar in Yeshiva that plans on, let's say, you know, next year he's going to be in university, he's not going to be able to learn 3 full Siddur a day, how does the Rosh Hashiva think that he should be approaching Halacha? Should he be approaching it to watch the unfolding of Halacha? Or should he be approaching it to just really get all the dinim down and put them in his pocket?
A person has to know Halacha Lamaisa, how to observe the mitzvahs. Has to go to look. When I was growing up, so Kiddush Shulchan Aruch was the Bible. So as a little child, we learned Kiddush Shulchan Aruch. So you should go through the whole Kiddush Shulchan Aruch. I used to have yeshiva. My yeshiva is in Washington Heights. So I live in the Broyes part of the community. So I used to give shurim for 10 years. I gave shurim in Broyes Beis Medrash on Shabbos afternoon. So Balabatim used to attend. So there was one Balabas who enjoyed, much older than me, enjoyed the shurim very much. He used to work for the post office. So the day he could do two, he could either retire at 62 or 65. He retired at 62, he got less pension. Retired at 65, he got more pension. The day he could retire, he retired. And he came to the yeshiva for years to sit and learn. He was 65, and he learned Bacharus with a boy 18 years old. He always participated in the shiur. And by the Yekis, they know the kids who Shulchan Aruch, that's the Bible. So he, when I would give a whole shiur, a whole marachi, he raised his hand, but in the kids who Shulchan Aruch, it says not so. He could always quote, I said a big chiddush. He said, yeah, it says in the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. You always know what it says in the Kitzur. So first you got to start with the Kitzur. You got to learn from Kav. Then after you know the Kitzur more or less, you know how to daven, how to like to fill. Okay, so then you graduate. So you go, I wouldn't recommend to start from the Mishnah Berurah. Mishnah Berurah is very, very complicated. I think after you graduate from the Kitzur, maybe learn Chai Adam. So go through the Chai Adam a couple of times. It gives you a little more in detail. Then one who knows Gemara with Taisus, and then you can begin to understand the Mishnah Berurah. Mishnah Berurah is very detailed, and the Bir Aloch always is taken off and making combinations with this Rishon, the other Rishon. You really have to know how to learn to them. You're going to go to Goyish University, you're not going to be, whatever university, you're not going to have all day long to sit and learn. So you have to go through the Kitzur at least as a Haskalah to know how to be observant, to know how to keep the Mitzvah Satur.
Maybe describe the Torah as either the negative way of Spiros and then the positive way of Shira. Maybe describe what Spiros is. Maybe be my Rebbe drop on how Torah is a Shira.
Shira, I mentioned that when we say the Birchas HaTorah in the morning, we add Harav Nashem Alkeinu Zdivis HaRoscha. We should enjoy the Torah, should be pleasant. And I mentioned that the Eglei Tal and the Hakdama says that the pleasure that a person gets when he understands Torah is part of the mitzvah. It enhances the mitzvah. It's not that it takes away from the schar that he gets. It enhances the schar. The mitzvah of Talmud Torah is to understand it so well that you have hanoi from the understanding. Ah, when a person understands, ah, he lights up, he dances from joy. There were people who used to, when they would stay up all night, they'd figure out a trap and a tesis, they would figure out 2 o'clock in the morning, they would start dancing in the base medrash, dancing from simcha. So that's the shira. The shira is that Torah is supposed to be cheerful. It's not supposed to make the person morose. Not supposed to, sometimes in the chachamim, they get so involved in all the details. They get so bogged down with details, their whole life is very morose. And they become depressed. Torah is supposed to make a person cheerful. It's supposed to have a simcha sachayim. He's supposed to have pleasure from the fact that he's supposed to be enlightened when he learns the Torah. And as he progresses more and he understands more of Torah, means that he's approaching HaKadosh Baruch Hu more. He's discovering more about Elokus. So that's Hoy v'hado l'fon v'hoy v'ched v'b'kom. When he's in the presence of Nir Baruch Shalom, of course there's going to be more le'simcha. Ein atzlus v'fnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's what it means, Shira. Shira means the joy of understanding Torah, of being in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
What was his relationship with the
Talmidim,
and what was his
relationship with the Talmidim? He was very snappy. In the early years when he was healthy, he used to be very snappy. He fulfilled the position of the Talmidim. He used to scream at the students whenever they said anything wrong. He used to
snap at them, he used to scream at them, he used to insult them. That's the way his father taught him. That's the way he taught the children. I remember once he said a whole shiur. So he asked the kasha, we were scared to ask anything. He asked the kasha at the end. So he screamed at me in Yiddish that in the early years the shiur was always in Yiddish, till he realized there was one student that didn't understand Yiddish, so the next day the shiur switched to English. But the shiur always used to be in Yiddish. And then once I asked the kasha, so he screamed at me in Yiddish, you should live so long not to understand pshat and tesis. So he used to scream like that. Cursed, you know. So yes, after me, I asked Aaron Lichtman, what did I say that was wrong? He doesn't know. He thought it was also good catch. He doesn't know. It used to be very, when someone would mispronounce a word in Gemara, he would snap. He always called on the students to read. He had to pronounce the words correctly. Gemara, the Rashi, the Taisis, he had to read it right. He would say, okay, read the Taisis, V'yeshleimah. What V'yeshleimah? 20 lines into the Taisis says V'yeshleimah. Read the Taisis, V'yeshleimah, V'yeshleimah. No one knew where is he. He used to be very snappy in the shiur. His relationship in the shiur, when you'd be walking in the street, he would be the most pleasant person. But in the middle of the shiur, he was very tough on the students. The style of the shiur is hard to describe. He would always go min hakala lakop. He would always start off, what does it say in Chumash? What does it say in the Mishnah? What does Rabbi Yudah say? How does Rabbi Yudah understand the Pasuk? How does Rabbi Meir understand the Pasuk? I remember a lot of times when he would say a Pasuk with the proper inflection, I would say, oh, that's what it means. He would just say the Pasuk. I would say to myself, I never realized that's the way you're supposed to read that Pasuk. I never realized that's what it says. A lot of times he would show Poshib Shad. He would show Poshib Shad in the Gemara, Poshib Shad. We never realized Poshib Shad. The most complicated thing he would make simple. That was his kayach. He would give a shiur. Sometimes he would give shiur for 4 hours straight, 6 hours straight. Everyone would sit glued to their seats. He was a tremendous speaker. He explained everything very well. He used to give, every year he had yahrzeit for his father on Gimel Shvat. Every year he gave, for many, many years, he gave a yahrzeit shiur. Yahrzeit drasha was known. He used to give a 4 hour shiur, 2 hours halacha and 2 hours drush. But the minute pause in between, he would take a drink of water in between. But he would give a shiur for 4 hours. So on one occasion, he was a very good speaker. He explained everything very well. Everyone would sit glued to their seats and listen, middle of the night, till 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock. Everybody would sit and listen. So on one occasion, someone jumped up after he finished the drush, which was in Yiddish, and he said, Rabbi Soloveitchik, did anybody ever tell you that you're a very good actor? So he said, without batting an eyelash, drama is an integral part of communication. He was a natural actor. Like Rabbi Lau, they tell the story, Chief Rabbi Lau, when he was a Talmud in Yeshiva called Torah, so they say that he asked Rabbi Shlomo Zalman, who was the Rosh Yeshiva, that he's considering leaving the Yeshiva to go to acting school, because he felt that he had talents in acting. So they say Rabbi Shlomo Zalman said, well, you have to leave the Yeshiva, stay in the Yeshiva, get smicha, and use your acting talents in the rabbinate. So that's what he did. He's a gewaltig actor. Natural actor. When he speaks, everybody understands. He just spoke in New York recently. When he speaks, everybody understands. He's a tremendous dramatist. Rav Soloveitchik took the most complicated thing and he made it simple. And after you'd hear the shiur, you would kick yourself. Why didn't we realize that? That was the Pashup Shat all along. There was no kasha in the first place. The Yahrzeit shiur was a whole... It was all built up. He would always start the Yom Tashi, he would say a Gemara, then he would ask 4 or 5 kashas that you thought it's impossible to answer. No one can answer these kashas. He would word the kashas in such a way, you would think it's impossible to answer the kashas. Then he would say, well, there's another Gemara. He would say a Gemara. You see this, you said in a Gemara, and all the kashas melted away by himself. Cannot be just misunderstood. The original did. So he was an expert. And the shiur in the yeshiva, the daily shiur, was daily. He used to give the shiur 2 days a week. He used to give the shiur only in my time. He only gave on Tuesday and Wednesday. I remember when I first entered the yeshiva was lying in Sanhedrin. And all yeshiva began, whatever, Labor Day, whatever it was. And the Menal put up the sign, Rabbi Soloveitchik will not begin shiur till the third week. And everyone should please prepare through Davov in focus on heaven. So I thought to myself, why is he different from everybody else? Everybody else starts different. Why does he wait till the third week? So I understood why. When he came, I was at the same time, I was in another shir, and they told me I should attend Rav Soloveitchik, the birth of the Sanhedrin. Rav Soloveitchik came in the third week, and the first shir he already covered more than the other shir covered. He spoke very quickly also, very quickly. One of the Rabbanim visited from Eretz Yisrael, one of the sons of Rav Aryeh Levin visited YU when he heard him give a shir. Came back there and said, Umaviv shir kemot tontach, like a machine gun. Boom, boom, boom. He used to speak so quickly. He didn't repeat himself. When he switched to English, then had to repeat himself a lot because he didn't know English well. Till after a couple of years, he really knew, learned how to speak English well. Then he would speak English like a machine gun. He used to speak very quickly. He used to go very quickly. He used to speak very quickly. And he took the most complicated thing and he explained. And the whole idea of learning was to make everything simple. He would always start off with definitions. Let's say we started getting. So he says, what's the definition of a shtar? What do you mean, what's the definition of a shtar? A shtar, a shtar. No. When we go to university, you have to start the definition. What's the definition of a shtar? You didn't know what you're supposed to say. Show the machlokes. The goyim, the shachin, the choshimish, has a machlokes. What's the definition of shtar? An eye-opener. He was giving definitions. Then he would show us that the machlokes hatanoim is a machlokes, what the definition is. You have to know menakala lakavit. You give definitions. Machlokes, how do you read a word in the pasuk? Machlokes, how do you have, what's the definition of the din? He always showed the most poshut of pshat. A lot of times he would throw out a question to the students he wasn't interested. He didn't think too highly of any of us. He thought we were stupid. He threw out a question, and the students thought we were supposed to give an answer, so a student would give a suggestion. So he would be upset. He'd say, why are you going like this? What's the direct answer? So he would make fun of us. Make fun of us by tell a story, a Chassidish story, that the Chassidish Rebbe was saying Torah by Shabbos Shmiras and Shabbos Parshas Lech Lecha. So he discussed how come Lech Lecha is written with two big chesed. Lech Lecha is written with two big chesed. So there was a misnagid there in the audience, and he said, on Shuldik, excuse me, Reb, Lech Lecha is written with Chas. And the regular letters, it's not larger than the rest of the letters. So the Rebbe said, that's one teretz, I have a better teretz. So he said, that's like over here. What are you drawing a cup? You're giving home. What's the point? The push at the pshat is the correct shot. Whenever you have two answers to a kasha, the one that's most direct is the correct answer. Remember, I took Professor Soloveitchik for chemistry. That was Rav Soloveitchik's brother, Shmuel Soloveitchik. He's also a very learned person. He's a very nervous person. So he was teaching us. He taught chemistry. That year, taught chemistry for the non-chemistry majors. I was non-chemistry major. So I was math major originally. So he used to teach the history of chemistry, the history of science, a lot of history. So he was explaining to us that in the world of science, a lot of times when you're trying to explain a certain phenomenon, so you can give a whole fancy mahalach, and you can give a very simple mahalach, like a learning. You can give a fancy mahalach, and you can give a very simple. So the derech klal, 99% of the time, the interpretation that's most direct is the correct one. The one that's all complicated is usually not correct. So he told us at that time they started to send Sputniks and spaceships all over. So he said, now that they have spaceships, so they know that the sun doesn't go around the earth, the earth goes around the sun. But he said, truth of the matter is, you can still farenfer. You can still say that the sun goes around the earth, and you can work out a long formula, but the formula will be so drawn out and complicated, and to assume that the earth goes around the sun is much more simple, so that's why the scientific world has accepted that the earth goes around the sun. Because if you have two mahalchim to explain a certain phenomenon, one is very, very complicated, and one is very clear, cut, very simple, so usually the one that's simple is the correct one. That's the Rav Soloveitchik comes used to make fun of this dude. He's giving such a complicated shot on the Rambam Nigmar. Give a simple shot. That was his madrega. Everything was the most simple shot. You know who does this? A lot of times they're shveder Rambams. Rambam's Rambam doesn't correspond to the Gemara. So the Lech and Mishnah stands on his head and tries to explain the Gemara. Tosfos Kashya, blah, blah, blah. The Rambam taught this, the Rambam taught that. And there's a Sefer Merkevus on Mishnah, the Rambam. He often gives the most bland answer the most poshut shot, the Rambam didn't say that. Read the words of the Rambam, he said different. So every so often Rav Soloveitchik would say that the pshat of Makabas HaMishnah is correct. There's certain, a few times it was heard from his grandfather at time that this Makabas HaMishnah is correct. That one is correct. A lot of times he gives poshut shot in the Rambam, the most poshut shot in the Rambam. That was the key to his. He didn't clear Chakiris. He never, there's a new style. People claim that they picked it up from Rav Soloveitchik. It's true. They picked it up from Rav Soloveitchik when he was an old, sick man. And he wasn't able to prepare shir because he couldn't even read. He used to have someone read the Gemara for him. He couldn't prepare for the shir. So, and he didn't remember anything. In the last years when he came to shir, he didn't remember. So they would be reading a din, so he would start to wonder, what's the nature of the din? Is it this? Is it that? Because he was weak and feeble at that time. So people remember that, so they think that's Rav Soloveitchik's style of Shir. That wasn't. When he was healthy, that wasn't his style of Shir. Everything was worked out in advance. There were no Chakiris. Rashi learns like this, and Tosfos learns like that, and the Rambam learns like this. He didn't clear Chakiris. Sometimes in presentation, after, like he said, his grandfather, in presenting it, so he had already worked it out in his mind. And presenting it, sometimes he would present it as a Chakir. But that wasn't his style of learning. It's hard to define, it's hard to describe. People keep on printing more essays in English and Hebrew about the Briska Derech. Each person, everyone makes up, postulates an assumption. The Briska Derech is the correct Derech, and I have the Briska Derech. So they write their own Derech. All of these descriptions don't, everything that they printed does not correspond, living and dead, to Rav Soloveitchik's style. And maybe it wasn't Briska Derech. Maybe it wasn't the Briska Derech. It was his Derech. It was his Derech. The Ika was that his shiur was not complicated, shiur was very easy. But the main thing would be, he would explain one Gemara, not with svaris, with philosophy, explaining Gemara by showing you another Gemara. You see over there, he cited that Gemara, so that shows that the pshat in this Gemara is like this. He had a certain degree of bekiyas, he didn't have a dripping bekiyas. He used to say the shir, and he used to say, so Gemara in the Dorim, he didn't remember where, so he said, Velech Daf Aaron. Rav Aaron Lichtenstein used to sit next to him and say, Daf Yud Gimel Amud Beis, Daf Samach Gimel Amud Beis. He would always trip, you know, with the kids. So they just didn't remember. He didn't remember whether it was Amud Aleph or Amud Beis. Rav, he remembered which topic appears before which topic. And I remember things, I remember, oh, it's a big fat Tosis here, a skinny little Tosis over there, you know, Amad Alam. He didn't remember, Amad Alam, Amad Alam, he didn't remember what the page looked like. He would see what the topic is, so he says, no, it's after that. No, it's before that. Somewhere in between these two. He remember the order of the Masechta, he remember halachas. He would explain halacha here by showing this halacha in other Gemara. The other Gemara sheds light on the whole Torah, kol ha-Torah kulam yinecha. The whole Torah has to fit in to make miksha achatz, has to be one big system. What halachas are integrated together. He wouldn't take one din and philosophize to death and analyze it to death. He would take all the dinim and try to find a pattern. Try to discern the pattern of the halacha. You can't say like this because the halacha over there is like that. So he would give a definition, he'd give a description, try to give definitions of a kind. Try to give a formula. He said, when we're learning Gemara, it's like the scientist who's trying to develop a formula to explain all of the scientific data. You have certain information, and what's the formula that makes everything function? So you got to develop a formula. He once said that somebody from the Jewish Theological Seminary, that's the conservative seminary in New York City, published a book, and he writes in the book that the rabbis were lenient in Hilchas Sukkah, Lovewood, and this and that and the other thing, because there was a scarcity of wood in Eretz Yisrael, days of the time, right? They couldn't afford to build the sukkah with so much wood. That's why they came up with all the kulis. So he said he doesn't think that that itself is a statement of Abikursis. Maybe there was a scarcity of wood. But he said, he said, the American government knew that the Germans were working on developing atomic energy. They were afraid that the German scientists would develop an atom bomb and they'll control the world. So they paid Einstein and a bunch of geniuses to figure out the secret to atomic energy. So therefore, they were able to make an atom bomb. So you wonder, how does the atom bomb work? I'll tell you how it works. It was a big Shas HaDchak. The Nazis wanted to conquer the whole world. So because of the Shas HaDchak, so they made an atom bomb. That doesn't explain how it works. That's what motivated the government to pay Einstein to develop a formula. But what bottom line, what's the formula? Forget about what motivated him to pay. What is the formula? So you have to have a formula. So he said, it could well be that there wasn't Shas HaTchak in the days of the Tanakh. They didn't have enough wood. But just because it's a Shas HaTchak doesn't mean that it's going to work. You have a Shas HaTchak, the bomb is not going to work. You have to figure out a formula. He says that there were always Shas HaTchaks. He used to say, Eidechot is Nemlin by Meis Bailo. He thought that it's a Din Daraisa. Machlek, so Rishayim went, it's a Din Daraisa, Din Darabon. He said, the Gemara says, Bishu Biguna, Akile Barabon. What do you mean? A Shas HaTchaks of the Mekel? No, Shas HaTchak, that's what motivated the rabbis to sit down and appoint a committee and to work by Yom HaBalayla to come up with some formula. And then he came up with a formula. You have to come up with a formula. You can't just say Shas HaTchak Yimekel. Shas HaTchak Yimekel doesn't work like that. He said, just like in science, you have what motivates the scientists to work on something, but then what do they work on? They discover what the formula is. How does nature function? What are the principles of physics and chemistry and so on? So in halacha also, he used to say, just like in physics, it's a self-contained discipline, has its own self-contained logic. In chemistry, in biology, every discipline has its own self-contained logic. So halacha also has its own self-contained logic. A lot of times people ask, how can halacha be like that? It's not logical. It's not logical if you ask for common sense. You can ask common sense kashas on physics and chemistry also. A lot of physics is not logical either. But each discipline has its own self-contained system of logic. So halacha also has its self-contained system of logic. Sometimes common sense plays a role, and sometimes does not play a role. Svara is also one of the Midrash HaPeredin Rashi's. There's room for svara, but not always. You can't ask the halacha is paradumis, metairis, atmeim, and metamias, atar. That's the halacha. It's not logical. That's the halacha. A lot of halachas are not logical. When you're developing the details of the halacha, so then sometimes svara plays a role, sometimes not. There was a lot to discuss in his derech halacha.